Well, hello everybody, how's it going? How are you? Welcome along. This is Press X to continue. It's the podcast that is your one-stop shop. All your gaming chat, your news, your reviews, you might only dabble. You might be a seasoned pro. It doesn't really matter because you are in the right place. Join the Exy Beasts clan.
Oh, here we go. Yep.
It's stuck.
It's a great name.
It's a clan now?
It's a clan. It's the Exy Beasts clan. Frankie Ward's with us and looks really confused. We're going to come on to that in a second. You stay there, Frankie. Don't worry. Now, this is a podcast, if you're just joining us, that has been rebooted. All of this will make sense in a second. It is a brand new series, and you can get us on more podcast platforms than ever before. So if this is your first time listening, either you can hit subscribe on Apple or Spotify and pretty much anywhere else you will find a podcast. My name is Stefan and I'm joined once again by actor, comedian, gamer, Dark Angel.
Oh, okay.
See what I've done there?
Someone's been playing one of my games.
See what I've done there? Go and play Space Marine 2 and you'll find out. Einel Tomlinson's here. Hello, Einel.
Hey, good to... Hey, I'm very happy that you've actually been getting some gaming time in for some Space Marine. That's
I feel good.
Yeah.
I'm playing games.
You're doing it.
I'm hosting a games podcast. It would help if I played bloody games, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. Oh, have you finished it?
Yeah, I have finished it.
Wow.
He's finished a game.
Hello, everybody. I'm Stefan Powell. I finished a video game.
First one of 2024?
Second one of 2024.
Oh, wow.
I feel quite good about that. Also, we've got esports host and streamer, content creator Frankie Ward is back with us. Hot Take Central, last time you were here. Frankie, how are you feeling today?
Hopefully I look less tired than last time I was here, even though I'm ill and my child is ill. So yeah, let's go. Let's see what happens.
It's winter. You've got children. Basically you're ill. That's just how it works. That's what happens. That's life, isn't
Although
it?
Although I feel like I can kind of lean into the kind of croak of the voice, you know, and just talk like this the whole way through.
Yeah, maybe you're like doing an M&S advert, because that's what they sound like, especially at Christmas time, isn't it?
This is not just a gaming podcast. This is the Exy Beasts podcast.
Oh, look at that. Okay, I'm sold now on Exy Beasts. Thank you, Frankie.
The smut levels do go up when Frankie comes on the podcast. Have you noticed that?
It changes.
Have you noticed that?
The vibe is different.
The vibe changes.
It's different. Smutty. You said Exy Beasts in the first place.
So what do you think? So Exy Beasts has been coined by Glenmore as the name for our listeners. We're undecided on it, but it seems to be sticking.
I'm undecided. Everybody else seems to love it.
I like it.
See, everybody else seems to love it.
Yeah, Shay is a fan. Shay Thompson's with us again, journalist and presenter. And Shay, more than just giving us your, you know, approval of the Exy Beasts name, you're here to share your unpopular opinion with us this week, which is exciting. And so let's kick off then with your first unpopular opinion. These are going down a storm, by the way, on social media. Thank you very much to everybody who's responding to them. Whether you agree or disagree, it is lovely to see what everybody says. Shay, the floor is yours.
Okay. I think that the vast majority of video game adaptations suck and should not exist.
Oh, wow.
Oh, as in other media.
Yes,
She said she hates transmedia.
I really do. No.
Yeah.
So there are like three that I think are good. I think Arcane is pretty good. Fallout, I think, is genuinely like a very good recent entry. And if you know anything about me from like following my work over the years, you know what I'm about to say. Street Fighter the movie. Those are the only good video game adaptations.
Yes.
Hey, Mortal Kombat. Yes. First Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it kind of falls into
Street
that category.
Street Fighter the movie.
That is...
I forgot that you loved Street Fighter the movie. And it's all coming back to me now. That's, and it's amazing.
Yeah. It's a cult classic.
Jean-Claude Van Damme as Guy. Yes.
I think it's because you have to know the history of how it was made and then you enjoy it more.
Even when I saw it as a kid, I was like, this is incredible. Raul Julia giving the performance of a lifetime.
For you... The day Bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday.
That is so good. Like, it is so campy. It is excellent. So if you haven't seen it, change that. It is a masterpiece.
Are we the baddies?
Look at that. Look at that. It's like being in a theater again in the mid-90s. I love it. But wait, so, I mean, we could just talk about Street Fighter the movie
but for real, though, we could.
But you don't like any
other
than those three.
I can hear people, you know, gearing up their fingers. So I'm like, put those fingers down. The Last of Us, as a TV show, it's a well-made show. Pedro Pascal, that's the love of my life. You know, Bella Ramsey, that's the homie. But that show didn't need to exist. I'm so sorry. Oh, wow. Like, because, like, did not need to exist. Okay, like... Barring like one major plot point, it's a shot for shot remake of the game. And I just feel like when people are like, oh, you know, we could have drawn more people to the, you know, to the games because they're fantastic. And yeah, but there were other ways to do that that doesn't look at games as if they're inherently unworthy of telling their own stories. And that's the problem with a lot of the adaptations.
I will say there is, I had one issue with Last of Us TV adaptation, and that's in, like, I think it's like the last episode. I understand they're doing Joel kind of like action man saving the day in the hospital, but I felt like that part was rushed. And also him and Ellie had this like conversation where they sit on the side of like the motorway or something. And it's that very expositional kind of everything surface level conversation. And I'm like, you've done subtext so well so far, and now you're doing this. And I just, yeah. It felt like they rushed the episode.
I actually don't mind exposition. You know, people really slag off exposition. Yeah. They do a lot of exposition. Oh, you've got to explain. I think you've got to contextualize stuff for people to care.
Yeah.
And that's why I understand why it's there. I take your point, but I actually don't mind. If it's done well, there's nothing worse. I mean, the scroll on Star Wars being the obvious.
I've never been a fan.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. But sometimes subtle exposition, I take your point. I love The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. And I think it does. I take your point about, but I don't think it's better than the game. I think what it hopefully serves as is an entry point for people to think, you know what, I've actually loved these characters. Mm. What else can the game offer me? And I think the game does offer you a bit more.
Much more. There are so many moments of tension that the games give you because you are the one in the driver's
seat. And you're making
the
choice, right? Mm-hmm. So isn't this a good way of just opening the door for more people to come and try the game?
I think that there are better ways to do that. I do think there are better ways to do that. Like, you know, the mystery behind what goes into games development, like that is so unknown to so many people. Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't have any of like the big kind of culture documentaries. Had they gone into like Naughty Dog and like, you know, done a retrospective 10 years later of like the first game, that draws people in. People love those kind of documentaries. We don't have to make media that inherently shows games as being unworthy to tell their own stories. And that's what I feel like the vast majority of adaptations do.
And a lot of adaptations are rubbish.
That too.
We talked about Borderlands, the movie the other day.
That's painful.
I haven't wasted my time on that. I did watch the Dungeons and Dragons film on a plane once, and it was really fun. But it wasn't adapting a story, was it? It was in a universe. Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah. And also, to be fair, with Dungeons and Dragons, it's basically Dungeons and Dragons as a thing is just a blank canvas, isn't it?
Right.
And so you can do whatever. There's no story to retell. There's no shot for you can't do Dungeons and Dragons shot for shot because the shot doesn't
exist. I always see them as like a way of just like an entry point for people to kind of like be interested in a particular franchise. Mm. Like Yakuza Like a Dragon is on Amazon Prime at the minute. And whether you feel it's for you or not, it's a nice entry point to the type of characters that you might that will exist in this video game world. And if that's something you're into, there's like a plethora of games there for you to choose from.
Yeah. I also want to give a shout out to Dota 2 Dragon's Blood as well, which was the Netflix series that came out around the same time the first series as Arcane. And actually, I really enjoyed that. And it was also a treat for people who play Dota and were watching TI when the international big Dota tournament that happens every year, because Marcy, who's a mute character from the series, was introduced as the next hero in Dota. So that was a really fun moment.
Yeah.
So I think teasing those characters, and I think they might be doing that with Arcane, with Mel's character in the most recent series. I think she's becoming a playable champion in League, maybe. Mm. I don't know if I've heard that right.
So if there's some like clever crossover where you're using the TV stuff to add to the game world, maybe that's a thing.
Exactly.
I've just had a message in from a Dave who produces the show to say, Shay, can't we have nice things?
No.
Because Dave clearly enjoyed The Last of Us.
In my dictatorship, there will be no adaptations. Well, everything will exist in its original format, and that's it.
Not even a Castlevania-like animations?
The two new Tomb Raider ones?
It's so good. We're getting another Tomb Raider, though, with Sophie.
Another one? Like, oh my God, so again? Tomb Raider ones. Put it down. Let Lara Croft
what
rest.
What about the Cyberpunk 2077-like animation as well? Edge Runners, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And that was you saw the spike of players like that purchased the game right after that came
Maybe
out.
Maybe I should have specified live action adaptation. Because I do feel like animation is a good medium to tell stories, but live action, not so much.
You didn't enjoy the Mario movies, did you?
Oh, God.
I totally did.
I also think there's a distinction that we have established in this conversation, which is the animated adaptations tend to be set in the universe rather than telling a story that we've already played. Whereas Last of Us, for example, was playing a story that we've already been implicit in.
Yeah.
Watching a story we've already played. So, yeah, I think that's the key thing. If it's using the universe and some of those characters and giving a new depth to them, then it's potentially a thumbs up.
Well, look, let us know what you think of Shay's unpopular opinion. You know what to do. Find us on social media. So Press X Podcast. I've got to get this right because OM Fair Play, who helps us with our socials, had a go at me because I kept saying the wrong... I kept not explaining it properly.
Hey,
so,
listen, it's fine.
Press X Podcast on Instagram. Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky.
There you go.
The asset. And you can also find us on Discord. Get involved in the Discord. It's lovely in there.
The Discord is busy. The Discord's busy. I love it.
What is the Discord? I've still not got my invite.
That's not on me. That's not on me.
You've got your own channel in the Discord, you know.
Yeah, people are talking a lot about you on the Discord. There's a Frankie channel. Well, look, Frankie's going to be in the Discord by the time this one goes out. And actually, it's quite pertinent because this episode is all about stuff that has been going on the Discord and on social media. Mm. And now, if you're listening on the day this episode first goes live, then what a wonderful way to spend your Christmas Eve hanging out with us. Aww. So thank you very much for being part of this lovely journey with us that we're all going on together. We're having a blast and I hope you are too listening along. Right, let's get into some unpopular opinions that we've had on our Discord, okay? This one is from Paul. And Paul, this went in this morning. So this is as recording, this is fresh, right? And interesting to see what you think of this one. This is from Paul. People are dropping bombs, okay? And that's fine because it's a healthy discussion to have, okay? Web3/crypto integration is actually a great thing for gaming and will be massive in the near future, says Paul.
This table. Get out, Paul. Sorry.
Paul knows what he's done.
Paul does know what he's done, and I know what I've done by putting it in.
he's managed to get your attention, and he's got onto the show, and I'm sure he'll be playing that new Cataly game that was announced at the Game Awards, because that's clearly some kind of blockchain nonsense. And you know what, Paul, enjoy single-handedly keeping that game alive for 2 minutes.
I'm a bully. No, people should feel bad about their opinions. Sorry, my thing with Web3 and like blockchain and NFT games is that they're not made with the express purpose of like having fun or you know increasing our cultural awareness. They are there to try and turn a profit, but the thing is, they're a grift. They are a grift. They're not going to last, just like they haven't. What's the biggest NFT game right now? Tell me, Arnel. Tell me.
Hey, listen, I'm on your side.
The eyes from Shay here.
Oh my God, like this.
Arnel didn't come to this gunfight. He's not in this gunfight.
No.
Like, during like the NFT craze during COVID, someone made an NFT of me.
Ew.
Like, they made an artwork of like.
Do you own it?
Inspiring women. I'm using inverted commas. For anyone who's curious now, I have no idea if anyone actually bought it. Probably not. But they sort of made like 9 kind of pictures of so-called inspiring women, including me and like Nefertiti. It was such a weird collection. I mean, power to Nefertiti. I'm not up there with her.
But look, if we're sort of taking on Paul's perspective, is there a lot of people in spaces making like making tech that are very clever and have decided to go down this route because, frankly, maybe there's more money in it for them. And those are clever people that might come up with some clever stuff that will be useful for gaming in future. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here, right? Mm-hmm. And so there might be things to learn from this space instead of just being like, nah, I don't like it, don't engage with it.
I don't want to engage with this question anymore. I think we should have the next unpopular opinion.
Wow.
Hey, wow. Paul, that's, you know, they might not like it here, but it's your opinion and you stick with it. So thank you very much.
Change that.
For bringing it to the pod.
I mean,
we've talked about it before. I mean, my issue, my thoughts on this, Paul, and we've talked about this before, and shout out to Luke Franks, who's sort of in this space. We've had on the podcast in our previous iteration and wants to come back on. We'll get him on in the new year to talk about this stuff. Because he's been banging this drum for a while as well. My thought was, is that it fundamentally changes the nature of a game. The reason I play, the reason I read books, the reason I watch movies isn't for financial gain, but is for escapism and to learn something about myself and the world or whatever through creativity. And that's, I think, that dynamic change here, which can be problematic. However, that's just what I think. Paul, you're into it. I love the fact that you've kicked us off on a busy note here for this
Christmas Eve as well, you know.
Christmas Eve, Paul.
Charles violence.
Yeah. Come on, Paul.
This is how my Christmas Eves go. I'm sharing that with you guys. It's my present to you all.
Actually, to be fair, should we have done an episode where we kicked back and had a brandy or something and just had a nice time together instead of getting into unpopular opinions?
We can do that in January when there's nothing else to do.
Yes, that's what we do.
Good thinking.
So this one is from Natus B, who says, my my unpopular opinion is that I am tired of JRPGs with mainly young characters, right? Where anyone in their 30s plus is a grizzled old guy. Mm-hmm. I want more RPGs with main characters in their 30s, 40s, please.
Oh, I agree with Nate, but yeah, absolutely fantastic opinion on that one. Because as you said, like there's so many, especially when you look at games like the Persona series and things like that, like set in high schools and whatnot. And it's like, it would be nice to play a JRPG. It would be nice to just play an RPG in general, where you're playing someone in their 40s, trying to pay their taxes, looking after their kids, going to work. That kind of dynamic would be quite nice. In the same vein as you would play like a Persona game, where you're going through a school day, you're going to classes, making friends, that sort of thing. It would be nice to kind of play that
Persona 40.
Yeah.
Persona 40. Yeah.
Will that change though? Because the demographic of people who play is changing, and so therefore we might see characters in games change.
I hope so. I think Yakuza Like a Dragon, that specific those specific games are a perfect example of that. Like the characters are in their 40s and it's very much kind of set in this time. So it's like a lot of things that people can relate to, people who are getting on in age, you know? They can see themselves in that.
Play Mahjong.
A little bit of conquest, you know?
Darts in the pub.
Because we're on like 51% of people who play games are aged 31 to 50. So get them in games, but get old characters in games. I mean, I suppose there are older characters. Anyway, but yeah, it's a good point. And then this last one before we crack on with the rest of our episode today is from the last DJ. And I've been sort of doing this type of thing for 15 years now, right? I have never resonated with a thought, a comment more than this message that we've had on our Discord. Okay.
Big up the last DJ.
Right. Yeah. He says this. There is nothing wrong with playing a story-based game on easy mode.
Oh, yeah. Hard agree.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Play it on easy. Just get the experience. Sit there. Enjoy your game. I had a conversation with somebody once who said, oh, I didn't like The Last of Us Part 2. Oh, why is that? It was too easy for me. Oh, I turned all the difficulty settings up, because you know there were loads of different difficulty settings. Turned it right the way up, and it wasn't challenging enough.
That's the gamer equivalent of pick me.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Like, oh my God, okay, you're so tough and strong. Like, you played everything on the hardest. You're okay, sure.
There are games that are really super challenging.
Margarines.
I said, look, that is cool. If that's what you play games for, that's amazing. But like, I want to play on the easiest mode. I just want to soak in the story.
Yeah, as much as I can. Yeah, yeah, none of this. If I die too many times in a row, I'm like, yep, right back down to easy. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Do you guys get frustrated when you play games and they're a bit too hard?
All the time.
Sometimes.
There are clips of me on the internet going back a few years of me like screaming. Like, actually, when I played, I streamed Last of Us and I was doing a stealth section before you're in the house with a sniper. That section. So before you get to that bit during the day and you're just trying to stealth around. And there was one bit and I kept getting caught out and my leg was bruised. I hit it so much. I was angry.
Frankie, are you one of those people that throw their controllers?
I don't throw the controller. I throw myself. Like, I just, I do get really frustrated. And people would just be like in my chat, and this is the worst thing you can ever say to me, which is like, chill out or calm down. I hate that so much. You do not say that, particularly to a woman. You do not say that. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is my Twitch channel. I show my emotions. Don't police me.
As you should, queen.
As I hit my legs. Don't police me.
Bruises all over.
If they were like, are you okay? I'd be like, no, I'm not. Thank you for asking.
That's a perfectly legit, unpopular opinion to have. Play it on easy if you want to, if that suits you.
I'm a hard mode guy.
Oh.
Love hard mode.
I thought
are you the DJ
guy? You wouldn't look down on someone for playing on easy.
I wouldn't look down.
DJ. I'm always... Sorry, Dark Angel. Sorry.
Play the game how you want to play the game in it. Like, if easier difficulty is for you, that's for you. But like, anytime I play a game and they give me the opportunity to play on hard, play on hard.
Yeah.
My thing is, like, I'm not a trophy hunter or anything like that. And so, like, my thing is, I'll always play on the hardest difficulty because I'm only going to play the game once. And I'm like, right. And I like a challenge with my games because I've been playing games for 40 years. So, like, let me just, like, grind on it. I don't get frustrated. I'm one of those people that don't really get frustrated with games when I get stuck on things. I'm like, oh, okay, almost got it. Oh, next one, next one, next one. And so, like, it doesn't really get to me. So if you get frustrated, that's fine. Totally take the difficulty down. But me, hard mode all the way.
Like, I've recently, as we discussed, I've completed a game, everybody. Hey.
Yeah, well done.
So, thank you. So when I finished Space Marine 2, there's, you know, the mission where the Khan effects turns up out of nowhere.
Yep.
I was wanted to go to bed by 10, you know, midnight. I'm still there because that is a game because I knew I'd love that. I did choose to play that on an increased difficulty. Last of Us 2, though, I finished on easy and I'm happy about that. That Carnifex boss.
Yeah.
I'm 2 hours in and I'm like, I can't. I've come this far now. I've got to finish the flipping thing. Do you know what I mean?
You've got to play it in co-op, man.
Yeah, well, co-op. Yeah, yes. Once our diaries align, and then we will do that. Anyway, great one. Great point, last DJ. And look, keep those coming. There is a place in our Discord for you to put your unpopular gaming opinions. We'll be coming back to them throughout the year. We love seeing them.
Yeah,
we love
them coming.
Yeah, keep them coming on in. And so look, that is this for today on Unpopular Opinions. Get in the Discord server and come and join the XC Beasts.
Woo!
Yeah!
It's not going down as well today.
The way Frankie says it.
Yeah.
What about the Continue Club?
Oh, she's cute.
Yeah, I like that CC.
Yeah. Okay, well,
that's what I'm saying.
We're a democracy, so let's put it out there.
And you can say it out loud in public.
You can say it out loud in public.
You can say XC Beasts.
Are you going to tell people you're an XC Beast? You're part of the XC Beast cult.
You know what? Hell yeah.
I call them a clan.
I'm not going to use that one. Oh, there are other words to use.
XC Beast clan. Would you wear a t-shirt saying XC Beast clan?
There you go.
But you would continue, Claire.
I would. Okay, continue clubs.
In the guild of the XC Beast.
We'll have to talk percentages later, Frankie, if this gets picked up, okay? Because Glenn wanted 15% for the XC Beast. So maybe if you come down on that, maybe we will go with...
I don't need any money. I just want a satisfaction of beating Glenmore.
There we are. Well, that could work. That
you've
could
already
work.
Won.
For the love of the game.
You know what to do. Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky and Press X Podcast on Instagram. Yes, nice.
Nailed it.
Find us on social media and let us know if you like Continue Club as opposed to XC Beasts.
Let us know in the Discord also.
Yeah, get involved in the conversation. So today, our episode, I mean, we've rambled on a bit already, but today we're talking about stuff that has been brought up by you guys in the Discord. That's the whole point of today's episode, if that wasn't clear by what we've been talking about already. And so we wanted to sort of shine some of the stuff that has been happening there that we really like, and we'll come on to some questions shortly. But this one from Marg, not Marge, like I incorrectly said before, but Marg.
Marg like Margarita.
Yeah, Marg like Margarita was the way they explained it in the Discord, which is great. So Marg came in a few episodes ago and said that they did their work on a dissertation about why zombies aren't called zombies.
Mm.
And we're like, well, we need more on this explainer. And of course, Marg's gone and given us that, right? So the reason that zombies aren't called zombies in games and TV are this. So because the unknown is scarier than the known. So an unnamed monster is scarier than something you can attribute a title to.
Makes sense.
Right, interesting. So prior to Night of the Living Dead, Marg says, zombies were relatively harmless, and then George Romero's films kept bringing up the theme of us versus them. Then in the Night of the Living Dead, zombies looked like normal people. There was supposed to be no explanation as to why the dead were returning to life, but the distributors wouldn't release the film until there was an explanation. And so the zombies are the us as well as the them, which also makes it scary, and you can be turned into a mindless monster too. So this was part of Marg's dissertation, right? And so zombies are so versatile because they can be caused by voodoo or viruses or space radiation or funguses or whatever, all cause zombification. And so all of that goes to this idea that the unknown monster is scarier than the known monster, which I thought was really interesting. And so we're going to talk about zombie games. And what are our favourites? So Marg, thank you very much for sharing that with us, because it was really interesting. You've obviously done a lot of work on that.
Good dissertation.
Imagine that, writing about zombies for your dissertation. Oh no, not zombies. Writing about things that can sometimes be described as zombies for your dissertation. Very good. So what are the best zombie games out there then? That's sort of the catalyst for this conversation. We've talked about The Last of Us already. Any other ones?
Oh yeah, Walking Dead Telltale.
Yes, absolutely. Come on.
Brilliant. That's probably one of my favourites. Mainly because of the trying to look after Clementine in the initial series with being Lee.
Clementine will remember that.
Yeah. Oh, sure, she did. Oh. For many seasons.
Yeah.
And I think it was a case of, like, for me, it's the best video game version of playing a father. I think. I can't figure, like...
God of War?
He wasn't a good dad.
He wasn't. I'm not saying he was a good dad, but I'm saying it's the experience of being a dad.
Yeah, it's a very, I didn't feel like a like I felt Kratos is a relationship with Atreus, and like it was a good relationship. But I didn't feel like I was the dad. I just felt like Kratos was going through it and I'm helping him out.
Right.
But whereas I felt like Lee when I was playing The Walking Dead. Amazing title. If you haven't played it, check it out. I think it's on everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, it's an interactive novel, essentially, in gaming form. Why don't they do more of those games, Frankie? I love those types of games.
I think... Well, because probably of what happened to Telltale, because they aren't around anymore.
Yeah, but they were the best.
They were
at it, I suppose. They even they made a couple of Batman ones, didn't they? They made a Game of Thrones one.
Yeah,
but I'm surprised no one else is like sort of trying to do more of that sort of stuff, because I just thought they were so good.
I mean, I played as Dusk Falls. Was it last year? The year before?
Yeah.
They just didn't find an audience. So I think, unfortunately, there's just not as mainstream an audience. So I think if it's a single developer or a small development team, then I think that they can potentially do well and really thrive, but they just don't seem to have the same market for them right now.
Such a great way of playing it as well. You could play it on your phone, you could play it on a controller. Like, it was, anyone could get involved. I love that. But like, I want to see more games like that, but it's just that people just aren't buying them.
Yeah. I mean, you can get the whole Walking Dead Telltale series because, like I know saying, they're cracking. You can get it for 11 quid on Steam now. Yeah, you know, that's pretty good going.
Mobile as well.
Any other, Shay, what are you saying?
Can I be honest? I don't actually play a lot of zombie games. And I was trying to, when I saw this in the running order, I was like, what is it about zombies? Why do you never play games? Apart from The Last of Us, like 1 and 2, that I think are masterpieces. I think it's because I think zombies are really unchic. Like, there's something about just like the shambling runs, like the spit like dragging from the mouth. I just think it's so uncouth and crass. And I'm like, I get those zombies away from me. I wouldn't do well. Or maybe I would do well in a zombie apocalypse because I'd just be like, get away.
She's like, have yourself a shower. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, like, come on, act like you've been here before, you know? I'm really sorry.
I wasn't expecting.
I want to see Shay play Resident Evil.
Hygiene wasn't necessarily the reason why I didn't think you'd enjoy zombie games, but why not? Cool.
Sorry.
I was playing online with my nephew who, when he was like 8 or 9, Plants vs. Zombies. And that's a really fun game to play if you've got like younger family members, especially, you know, Christmas time. And if you're playing, we talked about this last week, but like, you know, if you're looking at games to play together over Christmas, Plants vs. Zombies is kind of fun. And that counts as a zombie game.
It does.
Did you like Resident Evil, Frankie?
So Resident Evil, I first owned when I was probably about 11. Mm. I remember the werewolf jumping through the window and it was terrifying. But I actually tried to use Resident Evil as a seduction technique when I was 12. I lent it to this boy on the bus.
Every episode. This happens.
It didn't work. It didn't work, you guys.
Oh, no.
I basically forced the game on him. But I did play it a few years later with my now husband.
So it did work.
Yeah, we got to the basement, but we never actually finished the game.
Okay.
I find the problem is with Resident Evil is the lack of being able to save frequently for me. And the zombies themselves aren't scary. It's the lack of bullets you have. I think that's the scariest thing about Resident Evil.
Yeah. Item management means I'm out.
Yeah.
I do have some great zombie memories, particularly PUBG had a zombie mode when you could mod the, well, not really mod the game, you just changed the settings.
Yeah.
And when I used to produce at Twitch, we did almost like an early asymmetric horror style game where everyone on stage bar one person was a survivor because that was how many slots we had. So my friend Tommy from 200 Gamers had to be a zombie with the rest of the lobby. So we got the audience to load in and be zombies. And Tommy sat on stage with his headset, kept like whenever he went up to one of the other streamers playing a survivor in game, would go. And so you just had people playing PUBG like screaming, like trying to hit Tommy with a pan in game. And it was just like one of my favorite memories of producing for Twitch was just that moment on stage. So actually, I think zombies can be like really, really fun.
Yeah, I think when they're used for a reason other than. You can see the development. Like, we need loads of enemies here, and we need to create them quickly and easily.
Fun enemy to kill.
Yeah, without having to think too deeply.
Also, obviously, Left 4 Dead.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's really easy to forget about Left 4 Dead. I forgot about Left 4 Dead when I was thinking about this question on the bus here, and now as we're talking about it, I remember how impactful Left 4 Dead was and Left 4 Dead 2 and Back 4 Blood was great, but didn't have the same original feeling of playing Left 4 Dead with your mates at home. Oh, that game meant so much to me.
Back 4 Blood didn't quite land it in that sense.
It was fun. I don't think it had the same impact. I think since Left 4 Dead, I think Call of Duty's probably had the best kind of cooperative zombie experience, I think.
Yeah, and it's always odd when... because it's like sometimes it's like off and on, isn't it? The zombie mode in Call of Duty. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. It comes and goes. But look, let us know what you think about zombie games. What haven't we mentioned? We didn't talk about Dead by Daylight. We didn't talk about Dead Rising, The Evil Within. Days Gone was...
Why would we talk about Days Gone?
Well, I suppose there was interesting about Days Gone was... Good point. Why would you talk about it? Well, it was more about the way they moved as a herd was different, I suppose, to the more shambling one-on-one zombie experience that Shade
don't like those us.
But yeah, Days... You know, anyway, Days Gone, we don't need to dwell too long on
Dead
on
Island
Days
as well.
Dead Island
2's just come out.
What should we have talked about? Then let us know. This question then come in from Demi. If you could live inside the world of any video game, which one would you pick?
I'm say Cyberpunk, you know.
Would you? Oh, you love Night tech. City. You're a techie guy.
Yeah, love Night City, man. Just walking around. Like, I went to Tokyo this year, and it just gave me those vibes, and I was like, oh yeah, I would love to be running, walk around Night City. I'd be the first one to get augmented. Listen, get my eyes done. I want to get my teeth done anyways. I'll get that done too. I'll get fully augmented.
You know, you can just go to Turkey if you don't want to go to Night City.
I know the Turkey teeth.
Is it cheaper?
Oh, the Turkey teeth.
Turkey teeth or Night City, one of the two.
Okay, so Inel's up in Night City. What are you saying, Shay?
I'd live on the Streets of Rage. I think that's where I'd reside.
Just for the tunes?
Yeah, just for the tunes, but also like
I don't think the tunes play in real life.
Well, you don't know that.
All I know is the streets are full of crackheads. That's all I know.
Well, they're also like
Cyberpunk. They are too.
Yeah.
Good point, Frankie.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Because you know, also as like someone that goes to the gym is always thinking about protein. There are just like turkeys on the street. I'm this like, this is
in bins.
I'd go to those lengths to get protein.
Shay wants the hashtag gains. You know, that's what she wants. And shout out to our Spotify playlist, by the way, which we are slowly adding to some of our favorite tracks from gaming history. The theme from Streets of Rage was one of the first ones in there.
I wonder who put it in there.
I mean, it's such a tune. We just play it now, just because. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay, so Shay's in the Streets of Rage. Two places I don't want to be: United City and Streets of Rage. Frankie, where are you living?
I feel like I didn't get the assignment. I would say somewhere like Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, nice!
It's really fun environment to bounce around. Yeah. Some swimming, slight hazards in the water, but it's okay. We'll chuck a hat at them.
Yeah.
As long as I've got the cappy on my side, I'm happy.
I mean, Frankie, you're on the same page. My choice is I'd love to live in the world of a game called The Golf Story on the Nintendo Switch. Is it nice, like a Stardew Valley game, basically, but golf?
Golf. Yeah.
Come on, like lovely.
Yeah.
It's all chill.
I didn't have Frankie as a hat person.
Le chapeau is not good for the hair, but sometimes le chapeau is necessary. Why am I saying chapeau?
Producer Dave says he wants to live in Astro's Playroom.
Okay.
It's quite nice, but I think
actually think there's something sinister about that, because if you imagine as a human being trapped in Astro's Playroom, surely you're just trying to get out and you're a scientific experiment, like on those sterile walls, just like hitting them, going.
Yeah, maybe it's not as good as you think.
That went dark.
Yeah, that did go dark. I'm surprised nobody said an Animal Crossing island or Stardew Valley. That's be nice. Living on a farm, that'd be lovely.
The thing with the Animal Crossing is you're stuck on an island with some animals that you might not like.
And you're in debt. You're in debt to Tom Nook.
Yeah, and Tom Nook.
He's not a nice man, is he?
He don't forget debts.
Greg on our Discord, Greg1756 says, the World of Warcraft and Star Trek Online are my two most hours/longest played games. He's also got Destiny and Destiny 2 up there. What games have you put most hours into? Asks Greg.
Oh, I do know what it is this year, because I've got like my PlayStation like wrapped.
Oh yeah, yeah,
thing,
your Spotify wrapped, but
yeah,
for PlayStation.
The PlayStation one. Turns out it's the finals. Apparently, that's the game I played the most this year. Like it's like a fun like multiplayer kind of shooter where all the environment is completely like destructible.
Yeah,
and you can just like so. It's, for example, if you just want to go through a wall, you can go through a wall. If there's like a cash point up above you, you can just like destroy the ceiling and it falls down, and you can capture it and stuff. And I play it with like my partner, my friends, and like It's just a game
you talk
that
about
we
it. You talk about it a lot. You really
we just
love
keep going back to it because it's free to play and it's just really, really cool mechanics that it's like, yeah, we could never have got a game like this 10 years ago. And it's because of the technology that we have now, we can play a game that's like this.
Yeah.
Where you can just destroy everything and it still works and it's not laggy. You don't see like one person seeing a building over there, but then another person isn't. Everyone's seen all the destruction. I guess, do you remember when Crackdown 3 was announced?
Yeah.
And they were talking about all this destruction that you could have in a game. This is what this is.
This is what Crackdown really should have been.
That's cool.
Frankie just flashed a phone on me, but we're going to see what it was.
Yeah, I realise in Steam, like on the Steam app, you can see your most playtime.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's quite obvious what my most playtime would be if you know that I work in esports.
Yeah. Counter-Strike.
Yeah, Counter-Strike's my most played.
What's the one outside of esports?
So outside of esports, because I spent some time this year in hospital bleeding. And when you have a baby, that's not a good thing. Turns out absolutely fine. So yeah. I got loads of playtime in on, what game do you think?
Bellatro?
Baldur's Gate 3. I was playing Bellatro in my labour. My labour was actually quite fast. So didn't even get to 24.
And then
at least on Steam anyway, it's Dota 2, PUBG, and then Disco Elysium. I've got more hours in Disco Elysium than Elden Ring.
Oh, wow. Yes.
But then again, I never finished Elden Ring, but I did finish Disco Elysium. Yeah. I love that game so much.
It's so good.
And also Tunic. I spent a lot of time.
Tunic. That's hard. Yeah.
You know what I would love, for a really cool Christmas present, is the Tunic instruction book.
Real life.
Are you just a bit late on the Tunic instruction book?
Sorry.
You're a bit late for you to put it on your Christmas wish list now, Ina, because this is going out on Christmas Eve.
Oh, well, I'm going to be disappointed tomorrow.
Yeah. Shay, what are you saying?
I think this year it's Yakuza Infinite Wealth.
Yeah.
That's, I think, all in.
Which, spoiler alert, throw ahead to an episode that might be coming soon that you might be talking a bit more about that. Mm-hmm. So feel free to not dwell on it now.
I will not. just the hours spent, I think all in was about 115 hours.
Sounds about right for that game.
Yeah. Because I think I finished the story at like 70 hours in and then just kept going back because I liked hanging out there.
Nice.
But I think all time, I think when I was streaming for Xbox, I put in an ungodly amount of hours into Forza Horizon 4 just because we had to play it so much.
It's a good one. Set in the UK as well.
In the lovely Cotswolds. Although Wales isn't in the game, which is a big issue. And the guy, one of the bosses there, Ralph Fulton, have had big arguments about that in the past. And I'm still bitter about it. Anyway, for me, all time will be The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the annoying thing about that is I put about close to 100 hours into The Witcher 3 and I still got the bad ending.
Oh.
Which was devastating.
Is the bad ending the one that will make people on the internet right now really happy because it means that Witcher 4 couldn't happen with Ciri's main protagonist?
Good point. Yeah, actually, I hadn't thought about that.
It was you!
It was me! It was all my fault! Sorry.
You made it canon!
Right, NoFlow says the only game I've got on my phone is the Pokemon Pocket game after succumbing to peer pressure for some friends. I've been playing the Pokemon card game on my phone, just trying to collect the cards.
I didn't have you down as a Pokemon fan.
I want a Pokemon game in my life because I want a collectible thing in my life, but it hasn't quite landed for me. I don't know how you found it, NoFlow. Let us know. We've also had this in from Castlevania saying, I played Pokemon Go for years on my phone. I'm not a massive fan of mobile gaming, but that was one of the games that the Castlevania has played on their phone. Jay Doobs says that they've got Pokemon Go and Pokemon TCG, isn't it? TCG, card game, on his phone. Mezzo the same. So a lot of sort of Pokemon themes when it comes to mobile games.
I will say I do like the community side of the Pokemon Go stuff. Because they do regular community meetups and in parks and things, and Niantic, the developers, are pretty good at having special things for community days. So if people are walking around specific parks on specific days during those times, they have special rewards for people. So I do like the community side of Pokemon Go.
Can I shout out the community side of Pokemon Go? Because they did a big Pokemon Go fest in my local park in South London, and because it's off of a villagey area, people on the local forums just being like, oh my goodness, these people coming here, destroying our park. And then other people were posting photos of all these Pokemon fans, like families dressed up. It was so cute. All sticking to the paths, using the bins, being so polite that even Dina the dog, who, let's be very blunt, is usually a snobby bitch. She is a very little dog. She was absolutely fine with all the Pokemon Go fans. She wasn't scared of them at all. And normally she's like walking off in a different direction, but she gave a paw up to the fans of Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon definitely has got a good play. I think has found its place, in my opinion, more in mobile titles at the moment than the stuff they're doing on the main console releases. I know we've got a Pokemon game coming next year.
I think particularly for adults.
Yeah, especially for, because we grew up with it. I actually found myself buying a... I was at a shop.
You were at a shop?
I was in a shop the other day, right? And I was buying, and you know, one of those shops that at the front where the tills are, they put loads of like books out. They try and get you to grab like last minute things. I ended up buying an Pokemon encyclopedia for no apparent reason other than the fact that it was there at the front.
Wow.
Because it's nostalgic, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember it from like, I remember the watching Ash and the and Brock and all those and the cartoon back in the day. I found myself buying a Pokemon encyclopedia.
I'm just thinking how easy it is to upsell you, man.
Yeah. Keep Stefan away from HMVs and Superdrugs.
I used to work at HMV and so I'd be like, oh, is there anything else you want? And you'd be like, yes, give me all of it.
Yeah, give me
all
of
it. Do you know the words to the song off by heart?
I'll tell you what, I've been trying to get my...
Do you want to be the very best?
Yes, I know. Don't get me start singing
but
it.
No one ever
singing
was.
It. I'm going to start singing it. I'm not going to start singing it.
It's Christmas Eve, babe.
Yeah. So Pokemon definitely working, Shay, isn't it? In mobile places, more so than on main consoles.
I would agree. Not on me though, because I'm not a schmuck. No, I'm kidding. No,
I've got an encyclopedia you can have if you want. I bought it the other day for a fiver.
No,
it's good though, because it tells you like all the original 151 and then all the other ones says, because I don't really know.
I don't know. I really
like another 800.
There's so many new ones now.
And some of them look so like they look like my sleep paralysis demons. I'm just like, this is not of God. Like, put that away.
My daughter has three Pokemon books because my friend works at the Pokemon company, so sometimes gets her merch. And some of these Pokemon I don't know how to pronounce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tricky, but I think it is interesting that it's definitely finding a home there in mobile games,
which is nice.
Quick shout out on mobile games: the Monument Valley 3 has come out.
Just came out
on Netflix.
Yep,
Do it. Play it. Play it with the sound on. It's
magical.
So magical. Mm-hmm. So magical. That's my tube game at the moment. I'm really enjoying it.
And it's got a nice little animation as well that they did to go along with it. An animated short.
Shout out to us too.
So look, let us know what you think about the Pokemon mobile games. Thanks to everybody who has been chewing their stuff into the Discord. We haven't got through all of them, but look, we've got plenty more time to be getting into your comments over the next couple of weeks and months and stuff. So keep them coming in. I know lots of people will be wondering what the latest with Grand Theft Auto 6 is. Well, fear not. Have a listen to this and we'll find out.
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Look, you could play GTA Vice City right now if you wanted. You could play GTA 4. Hey, Nico, my cousin! You know.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
There's the latest from Grand Theft Auto 6. We are going to finish off with a review. So, Frankie, it's not too late if people want to get a game on their Christmas list. You know, I mean, it's pretty late. You're pushing it pretty close now.
You can do some digital gifts. It's all good.
Digital gifting. Or maybe you got some cash over the period and you want to invest it in a game. Frankie, what have you been playing that people might want to consider?
So I have been playing Locomotive.
Hey!
I have been looking for Inel. Who did you play in Locomotive?
Please, if you finished the game, you know who I am.
I haven't finished the game.
Well, then there you go.
But I have. I feel like I have played enough of it, producer David, to have some kind of verdict on the game.
What is it, before we get into if it's worth your time and cash, etc.?
So, Locomotive is like this strangers on a train murder mystery. A lady has been murdered and there could be a financial reason why. So you're essentially doing the traditional point and click, going through the train, trying to find solutions to problems for other passengers or to obviously eventually solve this murder. And it's pretty much a traditional point and click in the sense that you are combining items, finding novel solutions, and there's a fun voice cast and there's a really fun, witty script as well.
Yeah, Metacritic score of 77. You can get it for 15 quid on Steam. Would you recommend people to buy it, wait till it's on sale, or not bother?
So I would say if you are looking for a point and click game to play and you are a fan of the genre, then I think this is a really good, great game for you. And I think it is something you should definitely consider playing. If you are new to point-and-click games, I don't think this is going to be the game that sells you on the genre. I don't think it's a classic of the oeuvre. But I do think it's a really fun game to play. And I think the performances, not that I've heard Einel yet, but I know he'll be magnificent. I think the voice performances are really fun. I think that it could go further with its eccentricities and idiosyncrasies and things like that. I think there are humorous moments, but it's not laugh out loud funny. And for me, with a point and click adventure, I do really want to be thoroughly entertained. And so it did take me an hour or so to get into it. Now I'm into it. I am enjoying it. But it's funny how at first it feels like the point and click kind of activities, the things that you're, the problems you're trying to solve, should we say, they kind of feel like they're on rails. You know, you're doing one thing at a time. It's starting to open up for me a bit now that I'm several hours in. But I do prefer to have several tasks at once as opposed to just one thing.
Do you like point and click games, Shane?
I can't say that I do.
Okay.
But maybe Locomotive might be the one.
Could be the one. Play over Christmas, get a bit of Einel time at Christmas. Listen,
I play the in-game help system. So like,
I need to get on the phone to you.
If you get stuck, you can call me up. I can help you out.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm quite stuck anytime. On something right now. There so I'm going to call you. Now I've got an excuse.
Call me up. You got my number?
On Steam.
So look, well, there we are. So Shay's looking it up on Steam. Frankie's about to call Einel. We're having a call time on this episode. Remember, keep your suggestions coming in because we are building this Spotify playlist up and it's going to be available for you to go and listen to all the tracks we're going to put on that very soon. So keep your suggestions coming in. But that is it for this episode. Episode of Press X to continue. So don't forget to get involved by messaging us on Press X Pod or on TikTok and Blue Sky and Press X Podcast on Instagram. And then, of course, if you comment on a post, we're going to be sending you links out to the Press X Discord as well. We promise Frankie will be in there soon.
Mm.
We'll have another retro episode of Press X coming up on Thursday as well. That is Boxing Day for people. Now, where we put all of our back catalogue on there. And now, also, Einel, what else do we would we like to say?
I ain't got a clue. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, look, have a restful Christmas, whatever that looks like to you, from all of us here on Press X to Continue. A big Nadolig Llawen and a Merry Christmas, and we will see you all very soon.
Big up the Continue Club.
Or the Exy Beasts.
Feliz Navidad.